Stars twinkle in the night sky above a blanket of white clouds. Lying far below are hillside towns and villages, their lights scattered beside a glimmering river winding down from the distant horizon. At the boundary wall of this magical kingdom stands a magnificent fairy tale castle with the river flowing through it. A light flashes in the distance, and everything turns black and white. Dark, sinister clouds coalesce as lightning flashes intermittently. Disney. A hand holds up a sign, Monsters from Beyond, starring Sparky.
Victor, I don't know that it's smug. You have to wear the glasses.
It's 3D, honey.
Oh, yes, of course.
A family watches a homemade movie.
So that's where my candlestick went.
A bustling town.
Isn't that your grandmother's tablecloth?
Yeah.
That looks great.
A toy pterodactyl swoops down.
Whoa! I just felt I was attacked.
Plastic civilians panic.
Send in the Marines.
The flying reptile breathes fake fire as a cannon shoots invisible rounds at it. A toy soldier signals to his troops. A sign, Enter Sparky-saurus.
Sparky!
Sparky, that's you!
A white dog with a pointy snout prances in and battles the monster.
You tell him, Sparky!
As the flying beast coasts across, Sparky jumps and grabs it in his mouth. The citizens cheer, and a private kisses a female doll. Sign reads, The End. Another sign appears below.
Ooh. Oh, my!
Or is it?
Bravo! Maybe just unplug it.
Victor switches off the projector and Sparky pulls out the plug. The parents beam.
Well, it certainly was exciting.
Yeah, it was a big finish. Well done, son.
I can fix this. Come on, boy.
Victor carries the snapped reel out of the room and up a flight of stairs, with Sparky bouncing at his heels. Text appears in a spooky font. Disney presents.
All that time he spends up there. A boy his age needs to be outside with his friends.
I don't know that Victor has friends, dear. Other than Sparky.
Mom puts away the screen. Sparky and Victor enter a shadowy attic. The boy pulls the chain on a hanging light bulb, illuminating the room. A film by Tim Burton. Frankenweenie.
That's my point. I don't want him to turn out, you know, weird.
There's nothing wrong with Victor. He's just in his own world.
Victor places the projector on a desk and sits. Sparky sniffs a ball and looks up eagerly at Victor. Music by Danny Elfman. Puppet characters designed and created by McKinnon and Saunders. Animation director Trey Thomas. Sparky jumps on a makeshift treadmill and trots in front of a screen of moving scenery. Film editors Chris Lebenson, ACE, Mark Solomon. Production designer Rick Heinrichs. Sparky jumps on a stool and watches Victor work. Director of photography, Peter Sorg. Victor splices the split reel together. Sparky licks his face and the boy scratches the dog's head. Executive producer, Don Hahn.
Easy, boy.
Produced by Tim Burton, Allison Abate. Based on a screenplay by Lenny Ripps. A paperboy cycles through the neighborhood of New Holland. Based on an original idea by Tim Burton, the boy throws a newspaper toward Victor's house, hitting the mailbox labeled Frankenstein.
See you later, sweetie.
Have a good day. Victor, come on, honey, you're going to be late. Go put Sparky in the backyard.
Screenplay by John August.
Come on, Sparky!
Directed by Tim Burton, Sparky's ball rolls to the feet of an imposing figure holding gardening shears.
Good morning, Mr. Burgermeister.
Your dog has been sniffing around my Dutch Dazzlers. The other day I caught him peeing on my flamingo.
Plastic lawn ornament.
I'll keep an eye on him.
You better.
Yes, sir.
Burgermeister snips a bush. Victor leads Sparky to the backyard.
Go on, Sparky. That's right.
He throws the ball.
Good boy. See you later.
Victor locks the gate. Burgermeister picks up the newspaper, the headline reading, Mayor to Open Dutch Day, with a picture of himself below. A girl with four pigtails comes out of his house.
Where do you think you're going?
School.
What about that dog of yours?
She's not in the house, and she's away from your tulips.
I want you to remember something. While your parents are away, I am in charge here.
Yes, Uncle Bob.
Dutch Day is coming up, and I don't need any trouble. How's your song coming?
Okay.
Keep at it. Dutch Day is a big day for me.
Yes, sir.
Children rush into New Holland Elementary. A tall, gaunt man writes his name on the board.
Good morning, children. I am Mr. Zgruski. I will be your new science teacher. Apparently, Mr. Holcomb had an incident.
He got hit by lightning.
Well, that is bad. But he did not get hit by lightning. Lightning does not hit a person the way one is hit by a baseball or a cabbage. Lightning is simply electricity. The cloud is angry, yes, making storm. All the electrons are saying, I am leaving you. I go to the land of opportunity. The ground says, yes, we need electrons trained in science, just like you. Come, come. Welcome! So both sides start to build a ladder. This man, he comes out to look at the storm. He does not see the invisible ladders. When the two ladders meet, boom! The circuit is complete. And all of the electrons rush to the land of opportunity. This man is in the way!
Ah! The kids gape, wide-eyed.
But it's very rare to have such incident.
But it's not rare. Lightning happens to people all the time here. There's a thunderstorm almost every night.
My dad got it twice.
They built New Holland on an abandoned gold mine.
I heard it was a cemetery.
That's where they buried the miners.
A grim boy stands.
It's the windmill that does it. Turning the air until the sky itself rages against the night.
No cemetery, definitely.
The girl with four pigtails looks at Victor, who rolls his eyes. Sparky plays with a ball in the backyard. He picks it up and shakes his head, dropping the toy from his mouth. He notices a silhouette behind the white picket fence and then resumes his game with the ball. Sparky throws the ball, which rolls through a gap in the fence into the next yard. He sees a portion of a dog prancing elegantly through the gap, prompting him to go up to the fence and sniff around. A black, well-groomed poodle struts up and down the fence. Sparky wags his tail and jumps against the planks as he tries to gain her attention. Frustrated with the fence, he sits and looks around, frowning. Suddenly, the ball rolls towards him through the gap. He sniffs it. Sparky bounces up and down as he contemplates his ball. He turns to the fence and pushes his snout through the hole. The poodle touches her nose to Sparky's and he jumps back. She bounces on the lawn flirtatiously, batting her long eyelashes. Sparky's ears perk up. Students get up from their seats.
Students, on your way out, take a permission slip for the science fair.
First prize is a huge trophy.
Outside, Victor makes his way to his bicycle. As he kneels to unlock it, the cemetery girl, who has long blonde hair and saucer eyes, approaches behind him, stroking her puffy white cat.
Hello, Victor.
Hi.
Mr. Whiskers had a dream about you last night.
How do you know?
Because this morning, you made this.
She holds out a V-shaped cat dropping.
Did you get that out of the litter box?
It's an omen. Last month, he dreamed about Bob.
A plump boy eats while walking.
He fell in a manhole.
The girl looks down at her cat.
He dreamed about Toshaki.
A T-shaped feces.
The day he pitched a perfect game.
Toshiaki's teammates hoist him on their shoulders and cheer.
And Nassar, the day he got knocked unconscious.
The boy's hit with a baseball.
If Mr. Whiskers dreams about you, it means something big is gonna happen.
She reaches into her pocket and offers the excrement once again. Victor glances at Mr. Whiskers before turning to his bicycle.
You can keep it.
Victor slinks away.
One day you'll dream about me, won't you, kitty?
The girl holds her cat up and shakes him to and fro. Victor arrives home and rests his bicycle against the side of the house. He opens the gate.
Hey, boy. How you doing?
A hunchbacked boy bursts through behind him.
You'll be my partner, right, Victor? Because you have to have a partner for the science fair, and whoever's your partner is going to win. You know the most about science, so pick me as a partner. I have lots of ideas. We can make a death ray.
It says no death rays, see?
Aw, man. I still want to do it. Come on, who else would be your partner? You don't have friends, and neither do I.
I'm sorry, Edgar. I just don't need a partner. I like to work alone.
Victor shuts the black-haired boy out of the yard. Edgar gives Sparky the evil eye.
Will you sign my permission slip?
Dinner's ready.
Victor, have I ever talked to you about what I do for a living?
You're a travel agent?
I sell dreams. I tell people you can sail to Italy. You can do the hula in Hawaii.
Will you sign my form?
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
In my job, sometimes you have people who don't want quite the same thing, right? Say a husband wants to play golf in Scotland, but the wife wants to paddle down the Amazon. All right, you've got two conflicting ideas here. And it's my job, Victor, to help them meet halfway. Say, Scottsdale, Arizona. He gets the golf, she gets Indians.
But there's no river and no jungle.
Nobody gets what they want.
Exactly. And wrong. They both get what they want because they compromise. You'd like to do the science fair, and that's great. I'd like you to try a sport. Say, I don't know, baseball. Science fair, baseball. Science fair, baseball. How do you choose? Guess what? You don't have to. No reason you can't do both. You meet in the middle. Everyone's happy.
Dad and Victor stand on the sidelines of the school baseball field with Sparky at their heels.
Look at what Toshiaki's doing. He's keeping his eye on the target, never losing his concentration.
Toshiaki, the pitcher, squints at Nasser, who's playing catcher.
Strike three, next batter!
Victor gazes off to the side.
I want you to concentrate on your project for the science fair.
It's Victor's turn at bat.
Come on, honey!
Sparky runs onto the field and intercepts the pitched ball before Victor can hit it.
Oh, nice catch, Sparky.
Come on, Victor, please. Tie Sparky up and get your head into the game.
I'm out!
Victor tethers Sparky to the bleachers.
Sorry, boy.
Burgermeister's niece arrives with her poodle.
Hey, Sparky.
They sit on the bleachers, and the fluffy black dog makes eyes at Sparky.
Play ball!
Toshiaki pitches.
Strike one!
Nice try, son.
When conducting an experiment, trying is the important thing. It is okay to fail as long as you keep trying.
In the stands, Edgar drops his hot dog as the weird blonde girl sits next to Burgermeister's niece.
Come on, Victor, you can do it, honey.
She and Mr. Whiskers stare wide-eyed at the brunette as another ball is pitched.
Strike two!
Yes.
Come on, honey!
Victor looks towards the bleachers. The niece with four pigtails nods at him while the weird girl and Mr. Whiskers stare. Victor raises the bat once again. Toshiaki narrows his eyes at Nasser, who returns the look. He pitches. The ball soars into the air, sailing over the playing field. Everyone's eyes follow its path, including Victor. His mouth hangs open slightly, in awe of his own hit.
Victor, run!
Victor takes off. Sparky snaps his leash and chases after the ball.
Sparky!
Unable to contain himself, Sparky darts after the ball, which rolls out into the street. Victor runs off the field after him. the ball stops, Sparky picks it up with his mouth and blindly heads back across the street. Victor watches in horror as a speeding car heads right towards his buddy. The baseball rolls to a stop on the side of the road as the driver dashes out of his vehicle to investigate.
Sparky!
Victor runs toward the street, followed by his parents. They hold him back.
No!
Under a leaden sky, Dad holds a box near a tombstone in the shape of two bones forming a cross. Victor and his mother look on solemnly as Dad kneels and places the box in a hole that has been dug at the base of the gravestone. Mom gently strokes her son's shoulder. Together, the family pays a moment of respect. Victor walks up to the grave as his parents turn away. His mother opens her umbrella, and the couple walk down the hill, leaving Victor standing in the rain. The poodle noses a ball through the gap in the fence, then peeks through it at Sparky's empty doghouse. Later, Victor's parents sit at his bedside.
He was a great dog, a great friend.
The best dog a kid could have.
When you lose someone you love, they never really leave you. They just move into a special place in your heart. He'll always be there, Victor.
I don't want him in my heart. I want him here with me.
Victor rolls over, turning his back to his parents.
I know. If we could bring him back, we would.
Dad places a hand on Mom's shoulder and nods.
Try and get some sleep, sweetheart. Things will seem better in the morning.
Victor breathes deeply as the bedroom door closes, his chest rising and falling. He shuts his eyes tight as a single tear rolls down his face. He turns in bed and looks up at the ceiling. Dark shadows cast across his room. Victor, wearing pajamas with dinosaurs on them, gets out of bed and rewatches his home movie featuring Sparkosaurus. On screen, Sparky, with mock dinosaur spikes protruding from his back, prances across the amateur movie set. A small smile spreads on Victor's face as he watches Sparky jump and grab the toy pterodactyl in his mouth. Then his expression falls to a frown. In the morning, Victor mopes through breakfast and in the car on the way to school, his eyes downcast the entire time. In class, Victor doodles an image of Sparky in his notebook.
Just like lightning, the nervous system is electricity. We are wires and springs and cables to send the messages.
Mr. Rice Krusky unveils a dead frog.
Even after death, the wiring remains. Watch as the muscles respond to the electricity.
Victor perks up as the teacher attaches tiny jumper cables, which stem from a large battery, to the frog's thighs. He turns a dial, and the frog's legs twitch and leap with a surge of electricity. Enlightened, Victor draws lightning bolts around his doodle of Sparky. He bursts through the school doors and pounds down the sidewalk. Reaching home, he pulls up the garage door, looks around, and rummages through the contents. Mr. Burgermeister's round, bald head peeks out from behind a bush. Underneath his black square glasses, he grimaces. A tire rolls out of the garage, and Victor emerges with an overflowing box. He peeks in through the front door and enters. His mother lounges on the couch, reading a book.
Hi, Victor. How's school?
Okay.
Victor adds kitchen utensils and appliances to his growing stash. He heads past his mother and up the stairs to the attic. Under a full moon, a car drives down a poorly lit street. The headlights illuminate Victor, who ducks behind a pillar. Carrying a shovel and a sack, he looks to his left and right before pushing open the cast iron gates to New Holland Pet Cemetery. Victor walks through the burial ground, passing engraved pet tombstones of various shapes and sizes. A dog named Rover, a goldfish named Bubbles, and a rabbit called Fluffy. He hoists the shovel onto his shoulder and proceeds down a winding brick lane towards the small hill on which Sparky was buried. A bouquet of flowers lies on the freshly dug earth at the base of the headstone. Victor ascends the hill and looks down at the grave. Lightning irradiates his beloved Sparky's tombstone, which has the dog's face carved into the center of the cross. Victor throws down his sack, and as he digs, soil gradually piles up against a nearby tombstone reading, "Goodbye, Kitty." After a while, he throws the shovel to one side, reaches down, and hefts a box from the hole. He glances around, then turns back to the box. Behind him, a skinny black cat slithers up a gravestone. Victor turns.
Shoot!
The cat darts away. Victor looks down at Sparky's coffin lying at the base of the gravestone. He takes a deep breath before opening the box. Lightning flashes and it begins to rain as Victor wraps Sparky's body in the sack and carries it away, his long thin legs striding down the hill. Victor exits the cemetery and heads home, the bag thrown over his shoulder. Street lamps cast little light through the gloom. A car passes by, the glare of its headlights illuminating individual drops of rain. Victor cuts across a lawn to his house. He cautiously opens the front door to find his parents sitting on the couch, watching Dracula. Mom snuggles closer to Dad as Victor eases the door closed and tiptoes across the room behind the couch. On TV, a blonde woman backs away from the approaching vampire. Victor bumps into a lamp and drops his sack to catch the fixture before it falls. Dad looks back at the lamp. The light bulb flickers. Victor hides, crouched low behind the sofa. When his father turns back to the TV, Victor slowly gets up and drags the sack along the floor. The back of the bag rips to reveal Sparky's tail. In the movie, the sinister Count Dracula grabs hold of the blonde woman. Victor pulls the bag out of the living room and disappears down the hallway. Under the rafters in the attic, he carries Sparky's body through his makeshift science lab and lays it on an ironing board. He gives the sack a few loving strokes. Then, wearing a white lab coat, he opens a sewing kit, threads a needle, and begins to operate. His large shadow is thrown up against the wall as he works on Sparky. Victor breaks the thread using his teeth. He looks up as lightning brightens the room through the skylight in the roof. He pushes the ironing board under the aperture, then picks up a pad of paper and pen from a nearby desk. He sticks the tip of the pen in his mouth thoughtfully, then scribbles on the pad. From a desk drawer, he retrieves two metal screws and twists them into Sparky's inert body, between the stitches. Victor then attaches a jumper cable to each screw. He covers Sparky with a white cloth and looks up at the window where rain is now pelting the glass. Victor grabs an umbrella and two kites, one of which is shaped like a bat. He climbs a ladder to the window, unclasps it, and emerges out into the rain. He casts each of the three items, attached to wires, into the wind, and they hover about in the storm. From a nearby window, Mr. Burgermeister peeps from behind the curtains and frowns when he sees Victor on the roof. Victor squints, aviator goggles atop his head, looking up at the dark night sky. He descends back into the attic. He walks to an aquarium where he has strategically placed the ends of the wires. Victor picks up his paper pad and flips to a new page. He starts to write, then looks back up. Lightning dances across the sky as the two kites and umbrella flutter in the air. Victor switches on a television and a lamp, then pauses by Sparky's body to pet it through the white cloth. His expression hardens, and he marches to an upside-down bicycle. He spins the pedals, which begin to generate electricity. Currents spark through wires that connect numerous electrical devices together. Victor puts on his goggles. The hands of a clock spin backwards, a toaster smokes, and a fan turns as Victor checks the bustling equipment while taking notes. The sparking electricity from the machinery throws out flashes of light that brighten the interior of the attic intermittently. Victor connects straps around the ironing board to chains, and using a pulley system, proceeds to haul the board upwards and through the window into the turbulent sky. He locks the chains in place with a metal bar and steps back. He looks around at the contraptions, which operate at a frenzied pace. A vintage record player, a toy robot, and reindeer lawn ornaments flicker with electricity. Victor looks up at the suspended board in the storm. A bolt of lightning arcs forward and strikes the kites and umbrella. The harnessed electricity shoots down the wires and strikes the board, sending it into an electrical spasm. A shower of sparks cascades through the window as Victor inches backwards to avoid them. He removes his goggles and rushes to the bicycle to halt the spinning wheels. Gradually, the devices slow to a stop as the bolts of electricity fizzle out. Victor runs to the chains and begins to lower the board. The soot-stained sheet smokes as he unhooks the straps. He picks up a stethoscope and checks Sparky for signs of life. The cloth-covered body remains still. Victor slowly removes the stethoscope and places it on the ironing board. He takes off his gloves and looks down at Sparky's body before hugging it tightly.
I'm sorry, boy.
Victor holds Sparky's body and strokes it tenderly as he cries. He looks down at Sparky's still tail sticking out from beneath the sheet. The tail starts to wag. From underneath the cover, Sparky licks Victor's hand. The dog gets up, causing the sheet to slide off. He looks up at Victor, stitches holding sections of his skin together, and a patch of polka-dotted fabric sewn across his back.
You're alive. You're alive. Sparky! You're alive! I can't believe it! You're alive!
As Sparky wags his tail, it unhinges and flies off into a tin bucket.
I can fix that.
Victor embraces Sparky.
It worked. It really worked.
The next morning, Victor and Sparky are asleep together in the attic.
Victor? Victor, breakfast!
Victor's mother looks around his empty bedroom. Victor awakens, startled.
Are you up here?
Mom walks up the stairs.
Quiet down, boy.
Victor?
Victor looks around frantically as Mom's shadow nears.
Sparky, shh. Quiet.
Victor!
Mom looks around the attic. From behind loosely hanging sheets, Victor hides with Sparky, clamping the dog's mouth shut with his hands. He sees his mother's silhouette advancing and eyes the tin bucket lying in the corner. She parts the sheets to find Victor sitting on the bucket.
French toast or waffles?
Waffles.
Then I'll need my waffle iron back, Mr. Director.
Victor gets up and hands it to her. The upside-down bucket jerks back and forth. Mom cocks her head at it and looks at her son.
It's my science project. It's a robot.
A robotic bucket?
Yes.
For mopping, I suppose.
Yes.
And maybe when you're finished, you'll let me use it.
Victor watches his mother leave the attic. He walks back and lifts the bucket off of Sparky, who immediately licks the boy's face.
Sorry, boy, but I can't let anyone know about you. They may not understand, so you need to stay here today.
Sparky's eager gaze follows his human friend as he walks away. Outside, Victor exits through the front door and walks across the lawn. In the living room, Mom vacuums while reading a book. Sparky dozes in the attic. Droopy-eyed, he wakes up, stretches, and walks to his water bowl. As he's drinking, his back starts to steam, and water spurts out of the seams on his body. Sparky tries to catch the stream of water as it splashes all around him. Mr. Whiskers watches from outside the attic window. Sparky sees him and barks in his direction. In the living room, Victor's mother stops vacuuming and looks up.
No, couldn't be.
Sparky charges up to the window in pursuit of Mr. Whiskers. The cat slides down the roof shingles and lands on all fours. The revolving attic window pushes Sparky out, and he skids down the roof, falling directly in front of the living room window. Mom, reading her book, doesn't notice. Sparky chases Mr. Whiskers over a flower bed onto Mr. Burgermeister's lawn. The cat takes refuge on top of a lawn flamingo, smugly licking his paw. The flamingo topples, ruining the bed of tulips beneath, and the pair flees the scene. Mr. Burgermeister looks through the window, horrified. They run into a backyard, and Mr. Whiskers manages to escape. Distracted, Sparky jumps up to catch a fly in his mouth. When he scratches himself, the fly emerges through the stitches in his neck. He follows the insect to a yard where a plump woman in cat-eye glasses is hanging linen on a clothesline. Behind a bedsheet, Sparky's silhouette appears monstrous.
What?
The lady bolts from the yard. Two women sit on a bench with babies and strollers next to them. Sparky peeks his head out from a hedge behind them. One of the kids drops a pacifier, and Sparky struts over to sniff it.
And did you get that big power surge the other night? Jack thought it was a fuse box, but apparently it affected the whole neighborhood. Sometimes I wonder if Jack was going to have.
The child turns to see Sparky's stitched mouth chewing his pacifier. Sparky drops it.
Sweetie, you okay? Here you go.
She pops the pacifier in the baby's mouth.
So anyway, Jack loves it here, but if the schools weren't so great, sometimes I wonder if it's better off closer.
The two women wheel their strollers away. Sparky follows the scent to the school and heads to the back to sniff at an open garbage can. Edgar approaches and spots Sparky through a chain-link fence.
Sparky?
Sparky trots away. Later, Sparky prances into his own backyard and pushes the ball through the opening in the fence. In the opposite yard, the black poodle struts towards it, wagging her puffy tail. She looks down at the ball, then over at the gap in the fence. She cautiously approaches and sniffs the air. Sparky pushes his head through two broken slats. The poodle jumps back, then cocks her head at Sparky. She moves in closer to sniff him, and her questing nose touches one of Sparky's screws. A jolt of electricity throws the poodle back off her feet. She gets up, dazed and droopy-eyed. As she turns, a Bride of Frankenstein streak now decorates either side of her fluffy black head. She and Sparky nose each other through the fence. Sparky leaves her and rushes to greet Victor, who enters through the front door.
Hi, Victor. How was school?
Good, gotta go.
Unseen by Mom, Sparky also enters through the front door and follows Victor upstairs to the attic.
Sparky?
Sparky skips in behind Victor.
Sparky? There you are. Good boy. Sorry we had to stay here alone all day.
Sparky's ears and eyelids droop as he lies down in front of Victor.
What's the matter, boy? You okay? You're a little low. Are you hungry, boy? All right, here. Let's top you up.
Victor grabs two cables from his desk and plugs them into an outlet. He attaches the ends to the screws in Sparky's neck, and the joints sizzle with electricity. Sparky perks up, re-energized, and tail wagging. Victor heads downstairs.
Victor! Your friend is here.
Seated at the kitchen counter.
Edgar?
Hey.
Edgar, what are you doing here?
I know.
What?
I know.
Victor's eyes widen. He glances at Mom.
Know what?
You know.
No.
I think I know what you know I know.
Look, I don't know what you think I know, but I don't know it.
They both stare at Mom as she exits the kitchen. Once she's gone.
Your dog is alive!
That's impossible.
I know it is so impossible, but you did it. You did it. So show me how, or I'll tell everyone. Oh, Mrs. Frankenstein.
Shh. Victor's mother comes back.
May I have a cookie, please?
Oh, yes, of course. All right, come on.
The boys leave. In the attic, Victor scribbles on a chalkboard.
I think the wind and the lightning are part of the same thing. Some kind of strange force. But the wind isn't strong enough to bring an animal back from the dead. For that, you need lightning.
So when can I do it?
You can't. This isn't an experiment. It's my dog.
Show and tell, Victor. You show me, and I won't tell.
Victor frowns. In a pet shop, Edgar slams his stringy fingers on the glass of a fish tank, peering in.
Can I help you, young man?
I'd like to buy a fish.
Certainly. Which one?
This one.
Edgar points at a dead fish sinking to the bottom of the tank. In Victor's attic, Edgar drops the dead fish into a jar of water to which two electrical cables are attached. Victor hoists the jar through the attic window into the stormy sky above them.
What do we do now?
They each put on goggles as lightning strikes the suspended board. Victor pushes Edgar out of the way of a shower of sparks, and Sparky scoots away and hides. The board is lowered. Victor and Edgar remove their goggles and approach the jar, which appears to be empty.
What happened to it? What did you do?
I don't know. It should have worked.
They gaze into the water. It gently bubbles. Victor shines a flashlight on the jar to reveal the fish's skeleton.
It's invisible. It's an invisible goldfish.
Why is it invisible?
No idea.
Sparky growls at the fish, later on Victor's doorstep.
You can't tell anyone. You understand that, right? Not until we figure out how it works.
Okay.
Promise?
Promise.
Behind his back, Edgar crosses his lanky fingers. Later, in a garage with Bob and Toshiaki.
How are we supposed to see an invisible goldfish?
Put your finger in. You can feel it.
Ah! It bit me!
Let me see it.
Toshiaki sets the jar down on a table and shines a lamp onto it. A shadow of the fish is projected on the wall, and when it opens its mouth, it reveals piranha-like teeth. Edgar rubs his hands together, sneering. Toshiaki grabs the jar, but Edgar snatches it back and screws on the lid.
It's my science project, and it's top secret!
Toshiaki nods at Bob.
Well... our science fair project is even cooler!
Bob shoves Edgar out.
What is it?
Double top secret.
Toshiaki shuts the garage door.
Sea monkeys. You gotta come up with something better. Bigger.
I know.
The science fair is in 2 days.
I know.
You're the smart one!
I know!
Toshiaki taps his chin and looks at a poster of the Saturn V, the largest and most powerful rocket. He steeples his fingers together, smiling. In the attic, Victor ties a rope around Sparky's neck.
Okay. Sit still.
Shh.
Sparky, no!
Shh.
No!
Shh.
Sorry, boy. But we can't risk anyone seeing you again.
Victor sets Sparky into an open suitcase with a blanket, ties the rope to a table leg, and leaves. Glum, Sparky settles down in his makeshift bed. Outside the school, Nasser ambushes Edgar. Edgar looks up at the menacing, broad-shouldered figure towering over him.
Toshiaki says you have an invisible fish.
No, he didn't.
So you don't?
I didn't say that. Who said I did?
Toshiaki says it's your science fair project.
If it was, I couldn't tell you.
So it isn't? Or it is?
No. Yes. I'm confused.
Do you have an invisible fish?
Okay. But you have to keep it a secret. Swish your finger around. You can feel it.
Edgar raises his eyebrows and nods, smiling, and Nasser obeys.
It's just water. There's nothing there.
No, it's invisible. Huh?
Edgar reaches into the jar.
I don't know what kind of game you and Victor are playing, but that trophy will be mine.
Victor!
Edgar runs with the jar.
Something's wrong with my fish.
What is it?
It's not there anymore.
Maybe it just hopped out. Did you have the lid on it?
Yes. Ever since I left your house. I mean, it was there when I went to bed. I'm thinking maybe they don't last. They're only there for a little bit, and then they're gone.
Victor's eyes widen. He rushes home and up to the attic to see the rope lying untied beside Sparky's empty makeshift bed.
No, Sparky!
Across the room, Sparky scratches his ear. It falls to the floor.
Sparky! Don't worry, I can fix that too.
At night, Sparky lies at Victor's bedside.
Good night, boy.
Victor scratches Sparky's head. Victor switches off the bedside lamp and Sparky shuts his glowing eyes. The next day, the plump lady sunbathes in her yard. She gets up to refill her drink. On the roof, Toshiaki shakes up soda bottles and straps them to Bob's back.
Are you sure this is going to work?
No, that's why it's called an experiment. We have to collect data.
Do we have to collect it on me?
Toshiaki holds a cord attached to the bottles.
Ready?
No.
10, 9, 8.
We could use a test dummy or something.
7, 6. Five,
computer simulation!
4, 3, 2.
I have to pee!
Toshiaki pulls the cord, and the caps pop off of the bottles, emitting a spray of gas and soda that pushes Bob forward on roller skates. Toshiaki takes notes, then begins to videotape Bob being propelled toward the end of the roof. Bob approaches the edge and looks down at the yard below. He passes over the tip of the roof and hovers in the air momentarily.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Ah! It's working! It's
working! Ben drops to the ground. Toshiaki looks over the edge, still recording. The plump lady comes around the corner and sees her son on the ground. Bob's wheeled into an ambulance while Toshiaki continues to film him. Bob's mom stands at the side.
What were you boys doing on the roof?
Science.
Later, at a PTA meeting.
As mayor of New Holland, you have entrusted me with your safety. So I can't sit idly while a teacher endangers our children.
The man is a menace.
Have you looked through this science book they're using? Apparently, Pluto isn't good enough to be a planet anymore. When I was a kid, Pluto was a great planet. This guy comes along and rewrites the rules.
In fairness, he didn't write the textbook.
Mr. Mayor, Edward Frankenstein, your neighbor, of course. I just would like to say that our son Victor is just crazy about the new teacher. Thinks he's great.
Parents glare at Edward.
Cynthia has been asking all sorts of strange questions about things I've never even heard of.
Shouldn't we at least give the man a chance to explain himself?
Yes. Please come up, Mr. Menace.
The crowd turns in unison as Mr. Rice Kruski emerges from the dark at the back of the hall. He walks towards the stage as heads turn to follow his progress. His shadow passes over Bob, whose arm is in a sling, and Bob's mom, both sitting on stage near the podium.
Ladies, gentlemen, I think the confusion here is that you are all very ignorant. Is that the right word, ignorant? I mean stupid, primitive, unenlightened. You do not understand science, so you are afraid of it. Like a dog is afraid of thunder or balloons. To you, science is magic and witchcraft because you have such small minds. I cannot make your heads bigger, but your children's heads, I can take them and crack them open. This is what I try to do, to get at their brains.
Victor's mom hangs her head.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
Parents are wide-eyed as Dad shakes his head.
Oh, jeez.
At home, Victor lets Sparky out.
Be quick, boy. They'll be home any minute.
Sparky ambles out onto the lawn. Victor sees the neighbor girl's four ponytails over the fence. Her poodle and Sparky sniff at each other through the fence.
No, shh, no.
Victor restrains Sparky.
No. Shh. Victor?
She peers over the fence as Victor crouches out of sight on the other side.
Victor? Hi, Elsa. What are you doing?
Practicing my song for Dutch Day.
It's nice.
Did you get a new dog?
No.
I heard a bark.
Yeah, that was me.
You were barking? You must really miss Sparky.
Headlights illuminate the fence as a car pulls into the driveway.
I gotta go. Bye.
Bye.
Elsa kneels down in front of her poodle.
I feel so sad for him, Persephone. He really misses his dog.
The next day, Mr. Ryskruski leaves school with his belongings. In class, a woman in a tracksuit erases his name from the board.
Where's Mr. Ryskruski?
All I know is I'll be teaching the class for the rest of the semester.
Do you know anything about science?
I know more than you do.
Mr. Ryskruski knew a lot.
Well, sometimes knowing too much is the problem.
What about the science fair?
Oh, it's still on, but it'll be judged by someone who's not insane. Me! Now get cracking and may the best person win!
Outside, Ryskruski loads his car.
I can't believe they let the gym teacher be the judge. She's not even interested in science.
Back home, everyone is scientist. Even my plumber wins Nobel Prize. Your country does not make enough scientists, always needs more. You should be a scientist, Victor.
Nobody likes scientists.
They like what science gives them, but not the questions, no. Not the questions that science asks.
Ryskruski walks around to the car door.
Actually, I have a question.
That is why you are a scientist.
I was doing my experiment, my project, and the first time it worked great. But the next time it didn't. I mean, it sort of worked, but then it didn't. And I don't know why.
Then maybe you never really understood it the first time. People think science is here.
Points to his head.
But it is also here.
Then his heart.
The first time, did you love your experiment?
Yes.
Victor remembers Sparky licking his hand.
And the second time?
He thinks about Edgar's skeletal reanimated fish.
No. I just wanted it over.
Then you changed the variables.
I was doing it for the wrong reason.
Science is not good or bad, Victor. But it can be used both ways. That is why you must always be careful.
Mr. Ryskruski shakes Victor's hand before getting into his car and driving off. At the baseball field, Nasser, Toshiaki, and Bob hang out on the bleachers.
I can't believe I broke my arm for nothing. None of us are going to win. He has an invisible fish.
No, he doesn't. You fell for a parlor trick. You're saying he faked it?
Edgar stumbles from the dugout.
That the fish you showed us, was it real?
It was. And it was dead, too.
You brought an animal back from the dead?
No, Victor did, with lightning, and boom, and
impossible.
I swear, I mean, He already brought back his dog.
Edgar covers his mouth.
He brought back a Sparky?
Edgar backs up, nodding as they advance on him.
Victor will win the Thion Fair unless we can do better. Bigger.
He looks pointedly at Edgar.
You say you know Victor's secret? Now is your chance to prove it.
Edgar's eyes dart left and right. Later, Mom examines a recipe.
Now, where's my muffin tin?
She checks a cabinet and then the oven before putting her hand on her hip and shaking her head.
Victor?
She flicks on a light and climbs the staircase to the attic. Once there, she walks through the hanging sheets and sees the blackboard with Victor's calculations on it. The board shows diagrams of kites, storm clouds, lightning, and Sparky, with the word life written above him. She narrows her eyes.
Sparky?
Hearing his name, Sparky emerges from behind the sheets and stands at Mom's ankles, his tongue hanging out and tail wagging. Downstairs, Dad comes home. Mom topples backward as Dad enters the attic.
Sparky! Sparky's alive!
Sparky? Hey, come on!
As Sparky cowers, he crashes into a mirror and stares wide-eyed at his reflection in the cracks.
Mom? Dad? What's going on? Sparky! No! Sparky!
He jumps out the window.
Sparky, no! Sparky, come back! Sparky!
Hey, just a minute!
No, I have to go find Sparky!
Victor, what have you done?
You said yourself if you could bring back Sparky, you would.
Yes, but that was different, because we couldn't. It's easy to promise the impossible. What you did was a very serious thing. Crossing the boundary between life and death. Reanimating a corpse. It's very upsetting.
I just wanted my dog back.
Victor's eyes well up with tears.
Oh, sweetheart. We'll help you look for Sparky, but when we get back, I think we need to have a little talk. Understood?
Yes.
Now, let's go find your dog.
At the Dutch Day Carnival, patrons bustle about playing games and socializing. Sparky darts through the crowd. He looks up to find a man shooting at rotating tin ducks with an air gun. Sparky bumbles about, disoriented. He bumps into people's ankles as he becomes overwhelmed and discombobulated by the lights and sounds of different carnival attractions. At home, Victor checks Sparky's doghouse.
Sparky! Sparky, are you in there?
He hops on his bicycle as his parents come outside with flashlights.
Mom, Dad, I'm gonna check the school and the park. You guys are the town square, okay?
Got it.
Sparky!
Sparky!
Just as the Frankenstein set off, Bob, Edgar, Toshiaki, Nasser, and the weird girl with Mr. Whiskers sneak into the house and up the stairs, their shadows looming across the walls. They enter through the hanging sheet and disperse in the empty attic, looking around at all of Victor's miscellaneous household equipment. Mr. Whiskers jumps onto the hanging board used to hoist Sparky and the fish into the thunderstorms. The weird girl's booming round eyes shine bright white in the shard of moonlight that leaks through the attic window. Bob peers into the aquarium that contains the wires and battery.
Cool.
Toshiaki studies Victor's blackboard.
Interesting.
It has something to do with the lightning. I don't really understand it.
Oh, but I do.
Toshiaki smirks. Nasser tugs at a coiled wire, narrows his eyes, and looks around.
We shall bring the dead to life.
Victor cycles up to the school, turns on his flashlight, and searches the baseball field.
Sparky! Where are you? Sparky!
Sparky barrels down a sidewalk, glancing from side to side. Spooked by the headlights of a passing car, he backs away, unknowingly fleeing into the pet cemetery. His eyes are wide as he looks around the graveyard. His small, stout body draws back as lightning illuminates a headstone that reads, Hercules, with a stone frog perched above it, and another reading Shelley, R.I.P., with a cobblestone turtle straddling the top. A colony of bats swarm past Sparky. He recoils and runs further into the graveyard, coming to a stop in front of his own tomb. He looks up as lightning creates a spotlight on the name chiseled into the stone, Sparky. He circles a few times before nestling at the base of the grave. As Sparky lies curled in sleep, the full moon glimmers through a break in the clouds. Back at the carnival, Mom and Dad check for Sparky under a stage.
Sparky! Sparky!
As they move on, Mr. Burgomeister walks on stage in front of a crowd.
Thank you so much. And now, it's my pleasure to introduce this year's little Dutch girl, my niece, Elsa Van Helsing.
Elsa emerges from behind a curtain in a puff of smoke. She is dressed in a traditional Dutch costume with five burning candles on her hat.
I don't think this is safe.
Nonsense! We have the fire chief over here.
A skeletal man gives a thumbs up.
You know, a lot of girls would kill to be in your place.
I'd welcome death.
Audience members gasp and stare wide-eyed.
Praise be New Holland, streets so wide and sidewalks clean, modest homes at modest prices.
At the pet cemetery, Sparky wakes up and sees Nasser and Toshiaki enter the gates with flashlights. He hides behind his tombstone and peeks out. Nasser holds a sack, and Toshiaki carries a shovel over his shoulder. The two boys stop in their tracks and look at each other, grim and determined.
I'm going to win.
No, I shall win the science fair.
They part ways.
Time and safe, we have nothing to fear.
Nasser walks up to a small mausoleum and raises both arms in dramatic fashion.
Ah, the tomb of Colossus. Soon you shall be awakened, and we shall be reunited once again.
At the base of the gravestone marked Shelley, Toshiaki drives the shovel into the ground and digs. He reaches into the hole and lifts out a turtle shell. Toshiaki grins. Edgar rummages in a garbage can behind the school. He pulls out a rat carcass, then enters his classroom through an open window and lays it down on the teacher's table. He attaches two cables to the rat's hind limbs and looks to the window as lightning flashes outside. In his backyard, Bob immerses a rod with wire wound around it into his swimming pool. He then tears open a packet of sea monkeys and sprinkles them into the water. His chubby body jiggles as the monkeys slowly sink to the bottom. In the cemetery, Nasser climbs down a flight of stairs. His flashlight shines on a sarcophagus swathed in cobwebs. Nasser attaches two wire leads to a metal plate that reads Colossus. He walks out of the mausoleum holding three helium balloons that he releases into the gray sky. In his backyard, Toshiaki walks out of a garden shed and kneels down next to the turtle shell on the ground. He attaches two wires to it and plugs them to an extension cord. He releases a kite with a dragon's face on it into the sky. It is whipped away by the wind. Mr. Whiskers jumps onto a windowsill with a dead bat in his mouth. The weird girl sits on her bed brushing a doll's hair. The cat drops the bat beside her, then looks up with big round eyes. The weird girl's eyes widen with a smile. She twists numerous metal hangers into a pole, then attaches metal clips to each of the bat's wings. She takes down a decorative metallic butterfly ornament from her wall and attaches it to her makeshift pole. The girl then climbs through her window and extends the butterfly out into the night sky. In the distance, Nasser's balloons and Toshiaki's kite flutter in the wind. In the weird girl's bedroom, Mr. Whiskers picks up the dead bat in his mouth. Back at the fair.
Praise be New Holland, may your windmill spin forevermore.
This
Isn't she adorable?
Bolts of lightning strike the butterfly, the balloons, and the dragon kite. In the Weird Girl's room, the current travels down the wires and electrocutes Mr. Whiskers and the bat. At Bob's house, electricity courses down into the swimming pool. At the school, lightning strikes the flagpole and makes its way into the classroom, engulfing the rat. Electricity streaks down into the mausoleum. It strikes Shelley's body, sending it up in a blast of smoke, as Toshiaki takes refuge in the shed. At the Weird Girl's house, the singed butterfly ornament floats down outside her window. She goes over to her bed where Mr. Whiskers had been sitting. There's a black hole in the middle of the mattress, which is scorched and smoking. She looks to her right to find Mr. Whiskers sitting dazed and weak, his fur singed.
Mr. Whiskers?
The cat shudders as he starts to transform. His white, thick fur darkens to a coal color and recedes into shorter, coarser hair. His teeth elongate, and his eyes form an angry gaze. He rolls onto his back as his limbs and tail lengthen. Mr. Whiskers' neck stretches as he drops to all fours. His back arches as a pair of bat-like wings burst out. The creature flaps his wings and takes flight. He careens around the room, bumping off walls and toppling over things, then perches on the windowsill and bares his fangs at the Weird Girl. He takes off into the stormy sky. At school, Edgar runs out of the classroom. The gym teacher steps out of another room and looks around.
Hello? Is someone there?
Brow furrowed, she walks past a wall of lockers towards the classroom that Edgar fled from, cautiously making her way towards the door, which he left slightly ajar. She reaches out to grasp the door handle, the moonlight brightening her track jacket and pigtails as she pushes it open. She stares inside at the dark room, which is completely still, except for a small portion of the teacher's desk that's charred and smoking. Then, a monster rat with nappy hair and pointy teeth rises. At the graveyard.
Rise, Colossus. Rise from your tomb.
A massive shadow creeps out from the depths of the mausoleum, which is seeping smoke from below. It inches its way towards the entrance, where Nasser drops his outstretched arms and his eyes widen. As the figure draws nearer, Nasser slightly arches backwards. Suddenly, the shadow wanes and a tiny mummified hamster crawls out and looks up at Nasser. A can of Miracle-Gro drips into a steaming crater in Toshiaki's backyard. He creeps out from the garden shed and examines the cavity.
Shelly? Shelly?
A giant clawed foot crushes the garden shed, throwing Toshiaki to the ground. He crawls backward from a giant mutant turtle, which resembles a dinosaur with a shell on its back. Towering above New Holland, Shelley gets distracted by the bright lights of the carnival across town and heads towards it. Panting, Bob leans against a wall as steam wafts from the swimming pool. He peeks out as a webbed hand surfaces from the water. Countless little mutant sea monkeys wearing sinister grins pull themselves out of the pool and advance toward him. He backs away and runs out of the yard with the tiny beasts in pursuit.
Sparky!
Victor cycles past the pet cemetery.
Sparky!
He brings his bike to a halt and looks back up at the iron gates as lightning strikes across the sky. Victor turns the latch and enters the graveyard. He switches on his flashlight and sweeps the beam back and forth.
Sparky?
The graveyard is still. Victor stands at the entrance and looks around before he embarks up the winding brick path, scanning the cemetery with his flashlight. He climbs the small hill to Sparky's grave and shines the light on the tombstone. Sparky's head peeps out, then darts back behind the headstone when Victor shines his light on him.
Sparky?
Victor steps behind the grave marker.
Sparky!
Sparky shrinks back, trembling.
Sparky, it's okay, boy. It's just me.
Victor kneels down and Sparky inches toward him.
I thought that you were gone.
They embrace.
I never want to lose you. Promise you'll never go running off. Okay?
Victor cradles Sparky's head.
Come on, boy.
Sparky pauses and looks around before deciding to follow Victor, who freezes when his beam of light finds its way to Shelley's open grave. Victor shines his flashlight on Colossus's mausoleum, which is still open and smoking.
Was someone else here?
The burst of lightning illuminates Victor's shiny black hair and large sullen eyes as he investigates. Meanwhile, Bob sprints down the sidewalk and hides behind a mailbox as the monster sea monkey somersault past him. He turns and sees Victor in the graveyard. Victor catches a glimpse of the animals disappearing around a hedge as Bob, dripping with sweat, runs up to him at the gate.
Victor! I need your help!
Did you see those things? They were like
sea monkeys. You know how on the package, they're like in a happy kingdom and everyone's smiling.
Yeah?
They're not like that at all.
Victor, I need your help.
I asked them first!
My problem bigger.
Toshiaki points as Shelley pounds down the street. Victor steps forward and looks up at her as she advances.
Yeah, he's right.
Sparky bravely growls at the beast, and the children stare up in horror as Shelley passes by them.
Okay, let's go!
Toshiaki pulls out his video recorder.
And now for our next act, we have something really big.
In the crowd, Bob's mother turns around. Everyone scurries about in panic as Shelley crashes through the Dutch Day banner. Shelley continues pounding through the carnival, her tongue vibrating as she roars with all her might. Her scaly claw stomps down and crushes a police car. Mr. Burgermeister hides behind Elsa as Shelley knocks down a game tent with a swipe of her tail. He then abandons his niece and retreats backstage, where he bumps into the gym teacher.
No, get away!
Burgermeister jumps back as the monstrous rat pursues the fleeing teacher. The mayor runs into a porta potty, locks the door, and sits on the toilet, mopping his brow with toilet paper. A webbed hand reaches out from under the toilet seat. Gremlin-like sea monkeys swarm out of the toilet and assault Mr. Burgermeister. He falls backwards out of the stall and the creatures bounce away. More sea monkeys emerge from beneath a manhole cover and terrorize a crowd. As the rat chases the gym teacher up a flagpole, the sea monkeys harass Bob's mother. They corner Victor's parents.
This way! In here!
Mom and Dad scoot into a telephone booth. The sea monkeys gather, pressing their faces against the foggy glass to leer at Mom and Dad. Shelley then rips the telephone booth from the ground, exposing the Frankensteins, and bites it in half. Victor, Sparky, Bob, and Toshiaki arrive at the scene of the carnage, coming to a grinding halt when they see Shelley running rampant in the fairgrounds. Nasser appears from the shadows behind a game booth, with the tiny reanimated hamster cupped in his hands.
Go, Colossus.
Nasser sets puny Colossus on the ground and points to Shelley, who roars, towering above the Ferris wheel.
Kill! Kill! Kill!
Colossus snarls at Shelley. Nearby, Toshiaki steeples his fingers and smiles, watching. The tiny rodent drags himself along as Shelley thumps forward and stomps on Colossus.
Colossus?
Shelley roars, sending Nasser flying backwards. He gets entangled in streamers and twirls into a Russian doll case that falls and shuts, entombing him like a mummy.
Get away from me! Get away from me!
Edgar runs past a sign, fun for all the family, and bumps into the demonic rat, who leaves the gym teacher atop the flagpole to chase Edgar. Victor and Bob watch a sea monkey devour a box of popcorn. The monkey swells up and explodes.
Your sea monkeys, are they freshwater or saltwater? Freshwater. freshwater animals can't tolerate salt.
In a tent, Victor and Bob pour corn kernels and plenty of salt into a popcorn machine. Victor steps out and gestures to the monkeys.
Hey, over here!
The sea monkeys stop and stare at Victor, Bob, and Sparky, who retreat back into the popcorn tent before the monkeys barrel in. The two boys hold the tent flaps open, then quickly exit once all the monkeys have entered. Inside, the popcorn machine overflows and the sea monkeys gorge themselves. The canvas of the tent bulges and explodes. Bob is splattered with goo. Elsa and Persephone battle the rat.
Get back! Stay away from us!
Sparky joins the fight and grabs hold of the monster rat's arm. The rat shakes Sparky off and charges in to bite him. But instead, its teeth clamp around one of the screws in Sparky's neck. Electricity surges through the rat, and it transforms back into a cadaver with a puff. Sparky leans down to sniff it.
Sparky!
Shelly approaches the Ferris wheel, unknowingly stepping in a puddle of beer that's running freely from a barrel. Toshiaki videotapes Shelly from one of the Ferris wheel carts, and when he tries to escape up the ride, Shelly hooks a tooth under his shirt and suspends him in the air.
Oh, stop! You put me down! I gave you life! Victor, I need help! Please!
Victor glances at a severed live wire that sparks at the cut end. He heaves the cable into the puddle Shelly's standing in, sending her massive body into electric convulsions. As currents course through Shelly, Toshiaki falls and bounces off an awning and into a tub of tulips. Toshiaki picks up the camcorder and continues to film as Shelly's electrocution ends with her going up in a puff of smoke. A small turtle shell flies out of the air and lands at Toshiaki's feet.
Shelly?
Nearby.
Oh, Persephone! Persephone, are you okay? Here, Mr. Whiskers.
The Whiskers bat swoops down and grabs the poodle.
Persephone! Bring her back!
Mr. Whiskers?
I'm coming, Elsa!
Victor runs after her. Sparky sniffs the Dutch girl wig that fell off Elsa's head, then runs the other way with it.
What happened?
Sparky bolts past the dazed mayor.
Sparky, there you are.
Are you all right?
What you got there, boy?
Let me through!
I knew it.
It's the boy's dead dog.
Sparky cowers.
That's Elsa's wig. Where's my niece?
He's killed the little girl!
Sparky darts away past the mob.
After him! Kill the monster!
Carrying torches, the frenzied town people charge after Sparky. The Frankensteins exchange a concerned glance, then follow the crowd. With a swarm of people in hot pursuit, Sparky sprints along a road that leads to a windmill on top of a hill. Meanwhile, Victor runs up the hill and bursts through the doors at the base of the windmill. He looks up to see Elsa trapped high above him. The mob, led by Mr. Burgermeister, continues to chase Sparky, who runs up the hill to the windmill and barks up at it. A man moves forward and lassos a rope around Sparky's neck.
Get him!
Burgermeister raises his torch.
Where's my niece?
It touches the building.
Look out! It's on fire!
Flames spread across the base of the mill. Victor races up the winding staircase to where Elsa is hanging onto one of the blades. As she loses her balance, she grabs hold of the hub of the windmill, her other arm holding Persephone. Sparky breaks free.
Sparky!
Sparky runs into the burning building as Victor climbs out a window to Elsa.
Victor! Help!
Hang on! Don't let go!
I can't breathe!
Mr. Whiskers attacks Victor. Sparky leaps through the window and wrestles the monster, setting Victor free, then chases the flying bat cat down one of the moving sails.
Hang on! I can't hold on much longer!
Elsa's fingers slip and she begins to fall as Victor throws her a rope. Elsa grabs hold of the rope midair and swings to safety, colliding with her uncle on the ground. Sparky and Mr. Whiskers continue their battle. The monster cat dives at Sparky, who slides down the rotating blades straight into Victor's arms. Mr. Whiskers attacks Victor, pushing him off the windmill. The two tumble down the fiery building and crash through the side of the mill.
Stay back. It's too dangerous.
That's my son in there.
Sparky leaps back inside through the window and darts among burning timber as he charges down the staircase. The windmill begins to collapse as flames eat away at it. Sparky pauses on a landing when he spots an unconscious Victor. He grabs hold of Victor's collar and starts to drag him out of the burning windmill as smoldering debris crashes down around them. Dad holds Mom and looks up as Sparky pulls a limp, motionless Victor out of the burning building.
Victor!
Victor!
Honey, are you all right?
Victor's eyes flutter open as Sparky jumps in excitement. Suddenly, the monstrous Bat-Cat leaps out of the smoke and draws Sparky back into the inferno. Sparky and the evil Whiskers clash, darting at each other till the monster strikes Sparky and he tumbles back against a wall. A charred beam crumbles and falls. Mr. Whiskers moves in to strike the trembling dog, but the beam hurtles downward and impales the flying cat, who writhes and goes limp. The windmill buckles in on itself, burying Sparky in its mist. Outside, Victor watches in horror as the fiery mill collapses. No! Later, the smoldering pile of rubble smokes gently atop the hill. Victor leans into his mother and looks up as a fireman emerges from the wreckage holding a still figure. The fireman kneels and lays Sparky's comatose body on the grass, and Victor plops to his knees beside his pet. Sparky's gray eyelids are closed and he remains motionless. His short, stocky legs, which are stitched onto his torso, lie curled up toward his body. Mr. Frankenstein puts his hand on Victor's shoulder.
Victor, is there anything we can do for you?
You said that I need to let him go.
Sometimes adults don't know what they're talking about.
Numerous cars sit parked in a circle as people attach jumper cables to their batteries, all affixed to Sparky. Victor clamps two cables to the screws in Sparky's neck and steps back.
Start your engines!
Townspeople stand amongst the cars, the headlights all shining on Sparky lying in the center of the circle. Victor stands beside his dog and observes electricity crackling around the neck screws.
Give it more juice!
Victor's mother revs her engine and the RPM meter flicks forward. Victor holds up his hand, motioning towards his father.
Turn off your engines!
Victor walks up to Sparky and hesitantly reaches out to place his hand on the dog's chest, just beneath where the cables are clamped to the screws. He looks at his tail, which remains still. Frowning, the circle of residents, including Mr. Burgermeister, watch from a distance, and Elsa drops her gaze as a broken-hearted Victor leans down and hugs Sparky's still body.
It's okay, boy. You don't have to come back. You'll always be in my heart.
Tears well up in Victor's eyes. He gently removes the clamps from the screws in Sparky's neck and gets to his feet, backing away and joining his parents. Mom and Dad step forward as Victor leans in, embracing his mother. Dad rubs his son's shoulder as he watches Sparky lying still and alone, illuminated by the car's headlights. Suddenly, Sparky's ears and legs twitch, and his chest starts to rise and fall. He slowly opens his droopy eyes as if awakening from a nap. Victor detaches from his mother, and his face lights up as he sees Sparky getting to his feet. Sparky sits up and bounds towards Victor.
Sparky!
Victor kneels and Sparky runs into his arms.
Sparky!
Victor's parents join him, and Elsa smiles as she pets an overjoyed Persephone. Sparky leaps about, his ears perked up and tail wagging furiously. Persephone darts towards Sparky, and they both jump about with joy. The poodle shakes her head coquettishly, and she and Sparky extend their snouts towards each other, smiling. As their noses touch, a small current of electricity sparks and expands to read, "The End." Credits appear in white, eerie font over a black background. Starring Catherine O'Hara as Mrs. Frankenstein, Weird Girl, and Gym Teacher. Martin Short as Mr. Frankenstein, Mr. Burgermeister, and Nasser. Martin Landau as Mr. Rice-Kruski. Charlie Tahan as Victor Frankenstein. Atticus Schaffer as Edgar E. Gore. And Winona Ryder as Elsa Van Helsing. Robert Capron as Bob. James Hiroyuki Liao as Toshiaki. Conchata Farrell as Bob's mom. Tom Kenny as New Holland townsfolk. Casting by Ronna Kress, CSA. Co-producer, Derek Frey. Associate producer, Connie Nortonis Thompson. Line producer, Simon Quinn. Unit Production Manager, Joan Schneider. Production Manager, Art Department and Puppet Fabrication, Melissa Rogers. Animation Production Scheduling Coordinator, Angela Pochet. First Assistant Director, Kev Harwood. Head of Story, Rob Stevenhagen. Animation Supervisor, Mark Waring. Supervising Puppet Modeler, Andy Gent. Visual Effects Supervisor, Tim Ledbury. Animation Department, Lead Animators, Anthony Elworthy, Tobias Foraker, Dobrin Yanev, Brian Hansen. Animators, Dan Alderson, Peter Dodd, Jens Gullickson, Rachel Lambden, Marjolaine Perot, Tim Allen, Chuck Duke, Kim Kong Kukalier, Matthias Liebrecht, Christian Van den Busch, Boris Wolf, Cesar Diaz, Christopher Gilligan, Danielle Crave, Jody Meredith, Steve Warren. Additional animation by Timon Dowdswell, Drew Lightfoot. Assistant animators, Daniel Abalo, Ben Hollywell, Leo Nicholson, Jessica Cope, Will Hodge, Daniel Gill, Michael Hughes, Marcos Fallon. Junior assistant animators, Kim Emson, Pete Hardy. Story department, Patrick Collins, Dean Roberts, Christian DeVita, Sharon Smith, Gabrielle Zucchelli, Jorgen Klubian, Philip Valentin. Storyboard assistant, Valentina Ventimiglia. Art department, art directors, Tim Browning, Alexandra Walker. Lead modeler, Barry Jones. Art department supervisor, sets and models, Roddy McDonald. Art department assistant coordinator, Miles Pauly. Draftsman, Gavin Dean, James Collins, Hannah Mosley, Hattie Story, Lottie Ingledew. Graphic designer, Lucy Begent. Additional illustrator, Tori Davis. Junior draftsman, Shade Oligondoy. Art department lead modelers, Colin Armitage, Maggie Hayden, Roy Bell, Grant Humberstone, Charles Fletcher, Gavin Richards. Art department modelers, Holly Blenkins, Mick Chippington, Mark Fisher, Angela Curiacao, Paul Persighetti, Yosel Simpson-Little, Joe Vassallo, Elaine Carr, Robin Crowley, Celia Gerard, John Lee, Colette Pigeon, William Sumter, Joe Vitesse, Jamie Caruthers, Luke Daniels, Mark Gunning, Marie Parsons, Elizabeth Quinton, Tony Travis, Terry Whitehouse, additional models by Allison Cook, Helly McGrover, Lawrence Knuckles, John Wright Model Making, Monica Galage, Paul Mazonas, Thomas Simmons, Claire Kinross, Richard Morris, Fiona Stewart, Jeff Cliff Model Effects Limited. Assistant modelers, Steve Hayward, Marina Ralph. Art department buyers, Catriona Rings, Donna Walton. Workshop assistant, William Mundell. Los Angeles Art Department, Visual Development Art Director, Andy Nicholson. Art department manager, Los Angeles, Troy Nethercott. Art department illustrators, Mike Gabriel, Dennis Greco, Georgian Klubian, Rustem Hazanov, Helen Mingju Chen, Abe Ong Sisia. Research Visual Development, Priscilla Elliott. Puppet Department, Lead Puppet Modelers, Amy Bernand, Valma Hiblin, Josie Corbin, Nigel Cornford, Angela Pang. Lead Model Rigger, Richard Blakely, Model riggers, Robin Jackson, Kiri Scanlon, Ben Weller. Puppet modelers, Carrie Clark, Michelle Gilormini, Noel Kellett, Janet Nechtel, Talia Lane, Anja Poland, Charlotte Timms, Ayn Woods, John Craney, Sam Holland, Laura Kerrigan, Graham Michie, Rebecca Smith, Henny Tomzak, Rut Villamanga, Richard Davison, Sonia Iglesias, Angela Keeley, Nadine Patterson, Suzanne Morthorst-Stahl, Olaf Trenk, Alex Williams, Adam Wright. Songs, Six Powerful Cues, A, written by Wilfred William Burns, courtesy of APM Music. Death of the Alien 1, written by Harry Bluestone and Emil Kadkin, courtesy of APM Music. Savage Episode, written by Len Stevens, courtesy of APM Music. Green Peppers, written by Soul Lake, performed by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, courtesy of Alamo Properties, LLC. Elsa's Song, performed by Winona Ryder, lyrics by John August and Danny Elfman, music by Danny Elfman. Folkloric, written by Alfred Clouton, courtesy of APM Music. Carousel, written and performed by Craig Austin, courtesy of Sound Design. Strange Love, written by Karen Orzolik, produced by Jim Thirlwell, performed by Karen O, courtesy of Polydor Records, a division of Universal Music Operations Limited, UK, Interscope Records, North America. Soundtrack available on Walt Disney Records. Special thanks, Julie Hickson, Tom Wilhite, Barrett Oliver, Shelley Duvall, Daniel Stern. Dracula, a.k.a. Horror of Dracula, licensed by Warner Brothers Entertainment, Inc. and Hammer. Copyright 2012 Disney Enterprises, Inc., all rights reserved. For the purposes of United Kingdom copyright, Disney Enterprises, Inc. was the owner of copyright in this film immediately after it was made. Distributed by Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures. This film has been described by Deluxe Digital Studios with funding by Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures. Voice by Tansy Alexander. A sparkling arc is inscribed in the air above a fairy tale castle, Disney.